to Tommy. You agree with me? Tommy, jump me. 288 wins? Let's look at this up now. The people who have had fewer wins.
A lot. Oh, that are in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Not many.
Fewer wins in the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, man, guys are getting in. Dizzy Dean had 150 wins. Eddie Jones had 160 wins. Sandy Koufax had 165 wins. Now, I know those guys retired early.
Really?
Yeah. Those guys retired early. But still, Dizzy Vance had 197 wins. Rube Waddle had 193 wins. Lefty Gomez had 189 wins. Dizzy Dean, 150. Ed Walsh, 195. Koufax, 165. Man, there's a lot of guys in there had a heck of a lot fewer wins than Tommy John.
Yeah. And, again, his overall impact on the game.
Yes, 100%.
Just because of that one surgery. Take that out, I mean, still, that's impressive. That's very impressive.
Let's see, fewer than 288 wins in the Hall of Fame. Let's get this whole list up. While we had the 26-year career, by the way. Longevity. Overcoming. Yeah, Tommy John belongs in the Hall of Fame. All right, I've got this. Clemson had a scrimmage this weekend. And it was hot. This is a stadium scrimmage. It was hot. And they have been this brutal, physical camp so far, from what I understand. And it's all gone really well. Except for the Polo Anderson injury. If you notice, they've shut their mouth. They're not talking. Dabo's downplaying everything. Buddy Sanji, my radio friend from down in Baton Rouge, sent me this. Mickey, can I get you on the next couple of weeks? He goes, Dabo's poor mouthing like Bear Bryant used to do. Well, yeah, but Bear Bryant had a good team. So let me give you the word out of the Clemson scrimmage from sources and everyone that was there. Position by position, or position unit by position unit. I was told that all the quarterbacks played fairly well. That Reynolds made a few more mistakes than Vecina, but also had exactly what you would expect, a few more highlights than Vecina. But everything went really well at this point. And that still expect Vecina to be the starter, but that for the most part, it was a good scrimmage. Dabo said after the scrimmage that CV could be a big chain mover. He's more athletic than you think. Kind of like Taj Boyd, a good runner back there. Had some tough first down for us. Love those CV characteristics. Chain mover. Like hearing that. The storyline at – and that's good news. Both of them look good. The storyline at running back was that Gideon Davidson, he had a 60-yard run, was called back from holding by Wesco. And Chris Johnson, they kind of held those guys a little bit. They didn't play those guys a lot after the first couple series. The storyline from the scrimmage was that Jarvis Green was maybe the best running back. And that maybe – oh, and Jay Haynes got hurt again last week, so he didn't even participate. I think it was a moment it looked okay. But maybe Jarvis Green has maybe injected himself into a role here after a couple of years of injuries. I was talking to someone at the scrimmage saying, man, Jarvis Green was the best back here. That he's not going to beat out Gideon Davidson yet or – Chris Johnson yet, but could Jarvis Green play his way into the third-team role maybe? We'll see. Story at wide receiver, Gordon Sellers had a really good day. Freshman out of Charlotte, kind of was one of the big storylines at wide receiver, one of the head turners at wide receiver. I got a text this weekend from someone in the national media talking to folks at the ACC network that claimed that this is Clemson's best offensive line they've had in years. And Saturday, with the offense looking so good against the first-team defense, most of it figured first-team versus first-team, good on good, that the offensive line more than held up and was one of the strengths of the team. So you kind of like hearing some of that. A lot of positive news coming out there. At defensive end, London Merritt was a head turner, the Colorado transfer. A defensive tackle, it was Amari Adams as one of the guys. And that's something you got to see there. Between the North Dakota transfer, between him and Marcus Strong, Adams has got to play, man. He's got to play a lot there. So that's good news. Drew Woodass had a pick six in the game. That was a storyline probably at linebacker. At defensive back, Ashton Hampton once again was star of the show and was told was really toying with guys. Dabo said after practice that, or after scrimmage, that Ashton plays every day like it's a Super Bowl. Getting good news and notes there. Cooper Taylor was back, by the way, at linebacker. That's good news. But in the secondary, it's been the Ashton Hampton show. And finally, a special teams note. Nolan Hoosier hits from 56 yards. So that's good. Again, story makers, both quarterbacks, Jarvis Green, Gordon Sellers, the O-line, London Merritt, Amari Adams, Drew Woodass, Ashton Hampton, Nolan Hoosier. What do you think? What do you make from the report?
I like it. There's some positives. Again, only one injury. But nothing too surprising. It's a scrimmage. It's just like week one preseason NFL. You're going to hold guys back. You don't want to have any more injuries.
Yeah.
Even with the holding call, bringing it back, it's very good to hear that Gideon is hitting the hole, going hard,
I think 60 yards. I think Gideon Davis is going to be – I think that last year – Fax and I have this debate. Fax is not as high on him. I think Gideon Davis is going to be maybe the most improved football player on this team this year.
Let's go.
I think Davidson was tentative last year. I think Davidson didn't have his role defined in his true freshman year, and there's a big adjustment. He did not play in the highest league in high school, but I think Davidson makes a jump this year.
You already saw improvement game to game last year, especially it took him some time to get on the field because of his lack of awareness and blocking.
Yeah.
But I mean, if anybody's going to be a hard worker, it's going to be him.
Great kid, body for it. I thought he looked pretty good this spring. And if you're going to commit to a run game now and the offensive line is going to be better, and I think Gideon Davis, if Clemson's going to do anything this year offensively, they have to improve the running game. You can't go run the football the way they've run it. If we're sitting here in October and we're talking about Clemson rushing for 124 yards a game again, Clemson's in trouble. Got to run it, better. And that's not just Davidson, that's Johnson, and that's Green, and that's Izomame, and you know, those guys. But the fact is, have to run it better. And I think Gideon Davidson has to be the leading rusher. I think he's got to have a 800-yard kind of year, something like that, 800-plus, something like that. So a little football for you. Got some text message questions coming out of that. Let me get Snap Hook, Pratt Injury Lawyer phone lines. Good morning, Snap Hook. How you doing?
I'm doing well, fellas. How are y'all?
Pretty good, man. I played terrible golf on Friday. If you remember on Friday, if you're listening, you know, Ashby drives a BMW, and I'm like, I'm going to be a BMW today, ultimate driving machine. Instead, I was joking with a buddy a while ago, I drove it like a certified pre-owned Kia Sorento. It wasn't a BMW.
You drove it like Mrs. Snap-Hook.
No, it wasn't that bad. But, yeah, it was just okay. Left and right. And yeah, man. Wasn't good.
Yeah. If you can't get off the tee, it's kind of
hard. It's a hard game when you drive where I drive it sometimes. Yep.
Well, you know, the one takeaway I had from your take there, Mickey, was improved offensive line play.
Yeah.
I mean, that's huge. I would like to – I want to believe that. I want to see the hope in that. You know, one of the best offensive lines we've had in, you know, several years. I sign me up. I like the way that sounds. You know, I was kind of expecting the quarterback play, running back play, all that kind of stuff. Ashton Hampton being a dog in the backfield, in the secondary backfield, that's great to hear. How many times did we get torched last year? It was awful.
Yeah.
Glad to hear that. You know, Mickey, yesterday trying to find something to watch on TV. Scottie Scheffler absolutely obliterated the field yesterday, so that got kind of boring. Man, I gave it a shot. I bought into the hype, and for the first time ever, I watched the Indiana Fever play Atlanta, a WNBA game.
All right. I got a text on this, too, so I want to see how this compares.
I think I've watched three NBA games now. My first, my only, and my last.
Now let me lead in this. Bradley and Easley said at 6:08 this morning, going to Mickey, totally off subject. I took time to watch the Fever play Friday and last night. If Caitlin Clark's teammates could hit wide open layups, she'd have 30 assists. And a game was very entertaining watching Indiana play. Love the show, Bradley's. But so he liked the way that the Indiana Fever played, at least. You didn't find the WNBA to be as entertaining.
No, and I mean when Atlanta misses three straight layups, Mickey, I'm talking about under the basket layups to win the ball game, and it goes into overtime. You're like, man, come on. I guess what really set it off for me, and it's probably not the WNBA's fault, but right behind the scores table, there's this chick wearing a T-shirt that says "Trans kids belong in sports." And I'm like, you know what? Not to get all political or whatever. But
they missed the boat on this, because I've said this many times before. They've completely misread their role. By the way, I don't understand not protecting women in women's sports. But even that aside, people don't want to hear about politics in sports. They get away from exactly. It. They don't want to hear that. People have hard lives, and there's physical things going on and medical things going on, and there's financial things going on. And when you sit down and turn on a television, then you turn it on to watch sports to relax and divert. And if every time you bring in and think that you're bigger than you are, you've got some sort of role, and this goes for Hollywood, and this goes for music, that if you think you're some sort of, you're going to inject yourself into some sort of political stuff, you're wrong, man. We don't want that. I want to hear the song.
Nope.
I want to watch the game. I don't care what you think about anything else. And if I wanted to watch that stuff, I can always go to CNN. I can always go to Fox News. I can always turn on some political talk somewhere. I want to watch sports. I want to get away from all that garbage. But they don't know their role. They think that they're – I don't know. I think that they feel that they're making some sort of goodwill thing or something. I don't understand it. You completely misread. And if I'm the commissioner of any sports, we're not playing that. We're not doing it. We're just not going to bring that up. People on both sides don't want to hear it, don't want to see it. Just watch sports, enjoy sports.
Exactly. Well, I mean, you know, if you're trying to watch a WNBA game for the entertainment value and the actual sports value,
there you go.
Man, I bought into the hype machine, Mickey, and I was vastly disappointed. Mm. Brother, I appreciate it.
Thank you, man. Appreciate the phone call. There are those that love all the issues in politics, and I commend you. I think that's great. But at the same time, I don't want to turn on a political show and hear about sports. I don't want to turn on a political show and hear about music or hear about entertainment or movies. And I don't want to turn on my sitcom and hear about some political statement. I want to get away from it, because the guy I'm sitting beside at the game that's going to wear orange and purple or red and black or garnet and black, we don't care about that. We're a family of athletes and athleticism, and we're a family of pulling for teams. But I might hate you Monday through Friday because you wear red or blue on your political platforms that you get involved with or your political social media stuff. But on Saturday, man, I come together and I got garnet and black or orange and purple or red and black on. Man, we're brothers. We're in this thing together. I don't want to hear about politics on a Saturday. I got that Monday through Friday. I can find it anywhere I want to find it. Man, on Saturday, I gotta watch sports, man. I gotta get away from that stuff. Anyway, short break. We'll come back. Much more on the other side right after this. Brown Truck, Adams Grove text line said, if you want to hear Larry Williams play that song, come to Backstreets on Friday or Saturday night for the anniversary party. I didn't know that. I didn't know they played that. So good stuff.
That's Grateful Brothers. So Grateful Dead and yes. Allman Brothers.
Yes, the Grateful Brothers.
Fantastic band.
Yes. Tech said, Mickey, I get your point about Tommy John 100% there, but if you have the opportunity to go look at Sandy Koufax stats, might not be any wins with OMG. Yeah, Sandy Koufax is a Hall of Famer. And every time Sandy Koufax took the mound, everybody said, Hall of Fame. No doubt about that. Stevie from Simpsonville, Adams Cover text line, said, what about moving Tristan Smith to safety? I don't think that in year 5 or 6 or 7 or whatever he's in right now, you can all of a sudden just go be a safety. We'll see. But Mickey, when you say terrible, what are you shooting? I imagine you're terrible golf. Heck of a lot better than a lot of folks. Great show. Nice of you to say that, 6282. Thing about golf is it's all relative. So when Scotty Scheffler shoots 70, like he played terrible. But my terrible is not 70, I can tell you that. 7470 says, Sellers at wide receiver was the highlight of the Clemson spring game. All good signs for him. Yeah, Gordon, from what I could tell about Sellers, is pretty mature kid. And physically mature and mentally mature. I think he's going to handle it. Now, fact of the matter is that they've got enough bodies and enough experience there that they don't have to depend on him. I always say this about true freshmen. One of two things really have to happen in order for a true freshman to make an impact. Number one is he could just be a five-star Adwater, Sammy Watkins, come in and play right away, and he's going to play no matter who's there. But number two is you got to have an opportunity for him. If you're coming in and playing, say, quarterback at Ole Miss right now, you're going to beat out Chambliss. I don't care how good you are, I'm not going to beat him out. So you have to have an opportunity to do it.
Well, just like Chambliss got his opportunity due to injury.
That's right.
Yeah.
So with that said, I don't know if there's not the great opportunity for Sellers this year. West Coast good enough. Moore's good enough. Brown's good enough. Smith's good enough. Burrow's good enough. But with that said, he's good enough to break into and to grab snaps in that situation. Sellers is going to play this year. No doubt about that. John in Simpsonville said, I was in Cooperstown in June. There's a small display about Tommy John and the surgery. Really? So Tommy John is in the Hall of Fame. Technicality, but Hall of Fame. 6751 says, club it looking good, going to win the job. No. If you're and I hope you're not a Jets fan. If you're a Jets fan.
Yeah, there's a big problem with that.
You don't want Cade Klubnik winning your job. Sorry.
One, you're a Jets fan, so sorry.
Yeah.
Geno Smith is just too serviceable.
Oh, and that's a way to put it. Serviceable is a very good way to put it. Because Geno Smith is not great by any stretch of the imagination.
No, he'll get you 8 wins though.
Yeah, but if Geno and 8 wins for the Jets, that'd be great.
That's huge.
But Geno Smith is not going to. He's not going to make the boneheaded plays that Klubnik is going to make. I mean, I tried to get him the benefit of the doubt all these years. Geno Smith. Let's see how he did last year. Man, last year at the Jets, they had 3 guys. I didn't realize Brady Cook threw 150 passes last year. Tyrod Taylor, 134, and Justin Fields, 204. Man, that's crazy. I think that Cade Klubnik can beat out Brady Cook for the secondary job, or Bailey Zappi, whatever, for the secondary job. I just don't think he's going to come in and beat out Geno Smith. I don't think that Geno Smith – I don't think you brought him in. They got him a trade, didn't they? He wasn't a free agent. Was he a free agent? Anyway, I don't think you brought him in to not start. And last year, Geno Smith, 3,000 yards, 19 touchdowns. The problem is 17 picks. Matter of fact, the last 2 years, he's got 40 touchdowns, but he's got 32 picks. Guy's not throwing the other team.
Geno Smith with the Seahawks?
He was with the Raiders last year, the Seahawks the year before. He had some pretty good seasons with the Seahawks. Mm-hmm. 30 touchdowns, 11 picks, 2022. And he's not the long-term answer, and he's not a great player by any stretch of the imagination, but Geno Smith is a much better NFL quarterback at this stage than Kate Klubnik. And if Kate Klubnik starts, the Jets are in trouble. They're in trouble anyway.
They're the Jets.
Yeah.
And honestly, if you're Kate Klubnik, you don't want to win that starting job because that's good. You have zero chance of success.
Jeff and Manning said, Geno Smith wants 8 games this year. He'll be the MVP of the league. 8 games with the Jets. I didn't see this. Steven Simpson said, you see where Cade did the same thing one more time? He ran out of bounds and took a sack instead of throwing the ball away earlier in the drive. I mean, I don't – you know what the sideline is. Text said, Andrew Jones is in the Hall of Fame, but Tommy John's not. What a joke. Yeah, exactly right. 288 wins. The guy's not in the Hall of Fame. Now, his death will bring that – he's on the committee where you bring in the – what do you call it? Veterans Committee and all that. He's been on that, though. Texas said he's got to beat up Brady Cook. I've always seen Cooks is by far the better player. Yeah, I think he can beat out Brady Cook, though. Like, that's doable at some point in time. great point from Texas here. The Seahawks got rid of Geno Smith and won a Super Bowl. Yeah. Very good point. The only way the Jets get 8 wins are they're playing the Browns every week. 0-6-6-3. Very good point there as well. I enjoyed watching some of the NFL this weekend. Texas said, I always thought that Klubnik's clock speed was the biggest issue. Does it process fast enough? Yeah, that's right. And then tries to play hero ball way too much. Way too much hero ball through all that. I mean, there are examples of guys that progressed. But I don't know, man. Wish him all the best. But I don't know about all that. This actress passed away. Did you see this? That somebody texted us on?
Yeah, I saw it right when I woke up. Hayden Panettiere, Heroes, I think. That's what I knew her from. But, she passed away in Greenville last night.
What's she doing in Greenville?
First
of all, who is she? What was she in? What's the...
She was in a lot of, she was in a lot of things.
36 years old?
Yeah. Nashville was the other show that she was in, I believe, and one of the co-stars had some sort of performance. I don't know if it was a musical performance. It's kind of a strange incident.
But she died in Greenville.
In Greenville. What was she doing in Greenville? Justin Mills.
Really? What was she doing in Greenville?
She was here because her co-star from Nashville was performing
in Greenville. Okay, that's why. And we know what happened to her?
Oh, yeah, Remember the Titans. She was the daughter from Remember the Titans.
Really? Never saw it. She
okay.
Texas, she owns a house here.
Wow.
I didn't know that. But what do we know what happened to her?
I haven't seen anything yet.
It's terrible. Huh. Got a bunch of people remembering the Titans now. I'll watch it now. And since Tommy John's gone and put him in the Hall of Fame, since this lady passed away, I'll watch Remember the Titans now. Cardiac arrest, they're saying. 36 years old. Oh, no. Her boyfriend was from Greenville. Man, I hate that. Thoughts and prayers, man. That's awful. That's way too young. A short break. We'll come back. What'd you think of the NFL weekend? What'd you think of our Clemson update? What are your Clemson thoughts, South Carolina thoughts, Georgia thoughts? We'll get to matter of fact, I have a Georgia news or note, too. We're trying to get to that. Love to hear from you. Pratt Injury Lawyer phone line, 654-ROAR. Adams Co. Roofing text line, 654-ROAR, 654-7627. Much more on the other side after this.
Want to stay up to date with
every service? PATTX.com is doing your taxes for you. I had a great friend last week that needed Russell's number, and Russell set him up, and they got an appointment this week. It was one of those situations that happens in life, and they had a death in the family, and they had a tax issue that arose from that, and states and all that kind of stuff. So Russell's sitting down this week, and they're going to get everything straightened out, and I told him that he would, and Russell would do it, and these are two good people, by the way, and they'll get set up, and it'll go great. So back taxes, any of your amended taxes, any of your tax extensions, any of your tax issues that come up at any point in time, let's get some planning. Let's get it done with the Patterson Tax Service, PATTX.com, PATTX.com, 864-859-8289. It's the Patterson Tax Service. I had two people text me on over the weekend, and they're members of the media or people who have been to Clemson's practice. Actually, both of them came from people who've been to Clemson's practice. And I don't want to go over too much because I don't want to get the people in trouble. But one of the themes that came from both is that one of me, I think, here's one text. Dabo knows they're really good. I had another guy last week tell me that an opposing coach out there says that Dabo's sandbagging. Now, let me be clear about this. They might be really good. And I think we know in this transfer portal world now and with all kinds of things, who knows who's going to be good, how it's going to work out. Sometimes you think you are and you won't. Sometimes you don't think you have anything to do. And we've seen that. I just got a feeling about this team to that point that the hard work, the workman mentality, that you got a lot more, you got a little more mental toughness, a little more physical toughness. And some of these things can work out. And this program can be better. This team can be better than last year's team. I believe that. I've said it many times now that while they might not be as talented as last year's team, that there's a chance this might be a better football team this year. But I do think this. I don't think that Dabo is sandbagging. I don't think that Dabo knows they're really good and he's trying to play it down. I don't think that's the – if he is, he is. But I don't think that's the reason that he is. Now, this is a guess. But I think that the reason he's saying we're a bunch of nobodies and all that is because what happened on the field last year and this – Pollyanna uptake that everybody's good all the time, and when it doesn't go well, you kind of go back and kind of redraw, and like I said, do your autopsy. And so the point is, we're just going to shut our mouths. We're not going to talk about how great things are going to be, how great every player is. Now, he did catch himself on Saturday talking really good about a lot of players. That was different. Did you notice that?
There was
some quotes that were like, oh man, here we go, old Dabo again. But with that, so he just can't help himself. But with that, I don't think that it is a conscious effort of, hey, he knows he's really good. Holtz did that. If you ever heard Lou Holtz, whenever Holtz badmouthed his team, that meant he had something and he was trying to ground them. Whenever Holtz built his team up, that means he didn't have anything. He's trying to build their confidence. But I don't think that the catalyst for Dabo's badmouthing is that he knows he's good and he's trying to downplay it. I don't think that's it at all. I think it's, we needed to go back to work. We don't need to tell you how great things are. Eric Backus is the same way. But we're not going to promote how great things are going to be again and fall on our face again. Let's go back. Let's get the work done. And then let's see what we have in September. So, but Saturday he caught himself slipping back into the old Dabo. Let me give you some of the quotes. It's a really good start. Probably one of the best first scrimmages, honestly, that I've been around. A lot of good stuff on both sides of the ball, especially kind of how we started. That's a positive quote, right? We tried to expose them, get as much work as we could. We tried to get everybody work. It's going to be fun to watch that tape. Again, there's some really good things on both sides, but there's some bad things on both sides as well. Texture said, third down penalties. I mean, one of quotes, third down penalties will lead to some negative consequences like that. I think that's a pick six he's talking about. These past 2 days, probably been the toughest 2 days we've been around in a long time. The heat part of it, the tough practice part of it, right here today in our first scrimmage. The guys are doing what they need to do as far as buying into what we're asking them to do. We've got a lot to, got to stay the course and keep going and try to get better from this. Now, I'll give you some more individual stuff here in a second. But that's important. And I go back to the 4th and 16 game against LSU. After that game is over, if you remember, Clemson physically pounded LSU that day. And it took and the Tigers found a way to make it a close game. They physically dominated LSU in that game. But They screwed up drive after drive, and it kept LSU in the game. That's why you had to have a 4th and 16, and that's why you had to have the game winning field goal, the Chandler Catanzaro field goal. I mean, if you look at the game, it shouldn't have been close at all. Clemson, let me give you these stats. 32 first downs for Clemson, 9 for LSU. People don't remember that way. They think, oh, 4th and 16 and late field goal. Yeah, 32 first downs to 9. Clemson had 445 yards. They held LSU to 219 yards. Both teams had 99 yards rushing, but Clemson outpassed LSU 346 to 120. The Tigers had it for 36 minutes, but they just had boneheaded stuff that kept LSU in the game. 32 first downs to 9, 445 to 219. But the point is that when they made the field goal, after the game's over, I'm talking to one of the coaches, and he said, man, that's one of the biggest wins in our program's history. And I said, why you say that? He says, because had we lost that one, we'd have lost this team. We punished these guys in this build up for the season. I mean, for the bowl game. He goes, it was a physical bloodletting in these practices. And he said, had we not done that, had we not won the game, now we can go into spring and we can beat them up again like this and have these physical practices again and get something out of it. Had we lost that game, it would have been bad. And it was also like the turning point of Clemson football in that after that win, they went on a very, very good run. That was 2012. But they changed the way they practiced based upon that. They physically beat the guys up. And from there, and that was coming off the Orange Bowl loss, by the way, the year before. So that win propelled them into 11-2, 10-3, 14-1, 14-1, 12-2, 15-0, 14-1, all that. Anyway, this, you can choose to practice this way. Now, you got to be careful nowadays. But if it doesn't work and you don't win, then you run the risk of losing the team through it all. I just think this team, this program, the staff knew it had to go back to work, had to shut its mouth, and had to go do all that. With that said, some of the quotes out of Dabo on Saturday are very interesting. In talking about individuals, and this is where it sounds a little bit more like the old Dabo, there was some good stuff. Jarvis Green was awesome. Every time Jarvis plays, he's a natural player. He doesn't get overwhelming when you look at him, but the dude knows how to play. He knows how to play the game. He's productive. Now, that's different than what we heard earlier in the week or the first week of practice.
He was just overwhelmingly it seemed like he was frustrated.
Yes. But I think that was caution and keeping everything under wraps a little bit. But not because he thought he was great. I think because of how it went last year. CV can be a big chain mover. He's way more athletic than you think. Put him in that kind of Taj Boyd-ish. Taj was a good runner around here. We had a lot of first downs. And CV has those characteristics. Tate, that's just one of the gifts. He's big and fast and he can score. These are positive comments after Saturday. Dabo Swinney after Saturday. Quote, I feel like our running back room is going to be a strength. I don't know. It's a bunch of nobodies that nobody knows anything about, but I like our guys. They're tough. They've been productive in practice. It's been a real commitment to run the football, and it's good to see. Those are positive comments that we don't normally see, or we didn't see the first 10 days of practice, first week of practice. Dabo Swinney on the offensive line. Quote, we're moving some guys around. We're moving guys to tackle. We're moving to create some depth at center. We rotated guards around today. Just created some different competitions. Can't base it on going out there and playing tag. Live twist, pickups, communication, all that stuff. Got to make a good decision. The good news is they're making it hard. It's not what we're saying. Well, we're the best of the bad. We've got some really prideful, competitive kids. They're tough as heck. He didn't say heck. And they're physical, and they want to play. Positive comments. How about this one? Elijah Thurman is one of the smartest kids we've got on this team. You don't find many football players who can play five positions on the offensive line. He can do it. He's had a great camp. Positive comments, Dabo Swinney. How about this one? Marcus Strong really, really showed up. It's good to see that. Positive comments, Dabo Swinney. It's a little bit different after Saturday. Ronan Hannafin's really showing up every single day. He's one of those guys you get every single ounce of every single day he's out there. Ashton Hampton showing up every practice like it's a Super Bowl. That's his mentality. That's his energy, and he never stops. Positive comments from Dabo Swinney on Saturday. A little bit different. Now, Let's be careful, because sometimes you can run yourself into a positive deal there, and you kind of lay back off of them. Took Sunday off, by the way. It's interesting to see what will come out of that. Thoughts on a different tone after Saturday's scrimmage compared to what we saw the first week or so?
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, and even if he is quote unquote sandbagging, if he knows he has something,
yeah,
there is an action that you take that's usually the opposite of what you did in failure the last year. And I mean, if you look at the baseball team, how they are going about the preseason this year, we're doing a very similar strategy.
Yep. I'm reading some of the text now from a couple of my sources on this thing. And one who's not a Clemson guy, by the way, never really high on Clemson, high on Chad Morris, high on this offensive line, high on the running backs, and thinks that, again, this is one of the guys thinks that Dabo's holding back because he thinks he has something. I don't believe that at all. All right. Continue that thought. Your questions, your comments on a different Dabo after Saturday. Will Clanton, Mickey Plata, love for you to come back. Hour number 3 after a very short top of the hour break.